Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth. Drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I'm joined by my illustrious co-host, Miss 100%, and that was Mr. Harold Whaley, although it sounded like he was gargling some bath salts.
Yeah, that sounded kind of gross.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Blog Talk. 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 646-929-2037. If you want to holler at me and Miss 100%. Tonight, we got my cousin in the house. I say she my cousin because she actually looks like my cousin. Not that that matters to any of y'all. I got my homegirl, Imani Wisdom, CEO of Pink Noir Publications. I'm going to say that again. Imani Wisdom, CEO of Pink Noir Publications, is in the building tonight. So y'all be ready. It's an Indiana thing. If you don't know, you better ask somebody.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we encourage you to hook up with a social network. Look me up, whatever social network you on. Look up Smooth Drama. I should be there. And if you ain't really trying to check for me, you're really trying to get at my illustrious co-host, the Queen of the Little People. Queen, tell them where they can holler at you at.
They can't. I am on shutdown mode. No, I'm just playing. They can email me, miss100% at yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter at the number 100%, or catch up with me on Facebook, miss100%.
All right. That's all they got to do?
They can Google me.
Okay. She's Googleable. What you know about that?
Bad, yeah. If you ain't Googleable, you ain't shit. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I know you're happy. Everybody knows Ravens won the Super Bowl.
Yes. I am very happy. I am so happy. Because it was just so many people. I don't even really think that they deserve to be called people, because it's like, this is football. Shut up with the bullshit, with the character assassination. Shut up with the old, they don't deserve it. Like, who the fuck cares who deserves it? This is Clash of the Titans, man. Whoever is the best, whoever wins, that's who's going to the Super Bowl. It is what it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? I know it's a lot of Giants fans out there, Steelers fans, oh, they don't deserve it, blah, blah, blah. But y'all had y'all time. This is only the Ravens' second ring. You know what I'm saying? What, the Patriots got like 27 rings or whatever? Like, what the fuck? Like, come on.
They don't have 27. They got three.
Quit being such big haters. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just, they did their thing, you know?
Well, I will say this about the Patriots. Since we brought them up, they have not won a ring since Spygate.
Right.
Yeah. When you can't cheat, you don't win.
Right.
Anyway, shout out to the Ravens. They won. And for all them people who was hating on Ray Lewis, innocent bitch, score for it.
Sweet face bitches.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, like, they were like, he's a dumb nigga. Yeah, he's a dumb nigga with the ring. Kiss the ring, bitches. How about that?
Well, I'm thinking they wouldn't call him the N-word to his face.
To his face? No, I don't think so.
See, and as we know, that's these people with those internet muscles.
Yes.
Yes. On the internet, there's some tough, puffed up dudes.
Yeah.
Straight up puff adders. Just They'll cuss you out in a minute. They'll call you up. They'll say anything on the internet so long as you're not in their face. You get in their face and they, hey, can I get your autograph?
Yeah.
I love you.
You know, and I understand what people were saying, like, oh, well, yeah, y'all think God really let him win the Super, helped him win the Super Bowl. I'm like, listen, stop trying to play games with people's personal beliefs. His thing was this. There was a lot of injuries on that team. And we're not talking about God helping nobody win the Super Bowl. We're talking about whatever your personal beliefs are, whatever your religion is, if you pray to a pile of dirt to help you better yourself and to better your abilities, if that's what you believe, then that's what you believe. It's like, leave him alone. The he believes.
Hold on. You said a pile of dirt?
You know what? If people up there that worship trees and leaves and stuff, you know what I'm saying? And nobody is picking on them, but you get a guy who believes in the Almighty and helping him and his abilities to, first of all, get healthier, to help him to be a stronger person, to be a better man, to be a better father to his children, and all of a sudden it's a problem. It's like, come on, man, really?
Well, you know, if they didn't talk about Ray Lewis, they wouldn't have had nothing to talk about. So,
you know,
the press has to bring something up that,
yeah,
quote-unquote controversial. If not, they'd probably have to talk about themselves, and, you know, we know they don't want to do that.
Definitely not. Just, like, keep the focus off of me.
As we know, it's Black History Month. That month where everybody break out their dashikis and get real black real quick.
Yeah.
Although I want to officially say, yeah, I acknowledge Black History Month, but I'm kind of black all year round.
That's what I was like. I'm black 24/7, 365, been black for 38 years, and I don't think I'm going to stop being black. So.
And I'm even black in the leap year.
So I don't think 28 days is going to, you know, define my blackness.
Yeah. Shout out to Frederick Douglass, though. he the one that Black History Month is after.
Right, right.
So okay. Special shout out to Frederick Douglass and these black firsts that's out there. Speaking of black firsts, Coco Brown, she's in training to be the first porn star in space, black woman. She want to take it to the next level.
And see, that's the bullshit that I'm talking about.
Hold on. So you don't like her because she did Honey Love and Big Booty Bomb too?
I don't give a shit what the girl do.
Hey, Sugar Wall Slop Shots.
I'm saying this.
No?
Listen.
Okay.
If we go into another planet, I'm going to need you to have more to contribute than pussy. That's all I'm saying, period and point blank. Like, you're not the only person on this planet with a pussy, and I damn sure, I can bet my bottom dollar that you're not the only person that if we do get a chance to move to another planet, you won't be the only pussy there. So, I mean, it's all around us, you know. Nobody is black.
Hold on. So why are you hating on black first?
I ain't hating
Black History Month.
Let me clarify. What I'm hating on is the fact that we are already, as black women, defined by just good for laying on our backs. Like, I'm going to put it out there because it is what it is.
Put it out there.
To say, well, this is my contribution. If we are going to another planet, I'm going to contribute the ass. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, man. Like, you can't represent, you know, black women and going to another planet and say, this is going to be your contribution to, no, honey, you're not representing.
Hold on. Ain't the term ass, cash, or gas? Nobody rides for free. She didn't have the cash or the gas. So she brought the ass.
Get the fuck down somewhere, man. Like, it's cool what you do, because if that's your craft and that's how you make your money and that's how you get famous, that's what you do. I'm not hating on that. But what I'm saying is, you obviously are an intelligent businesswoman, so offer something other than that. Contribute something other than that.
Oh, she's paying $100,000 for the privilege of being one of the first citizens into space.
See, so now, see, this is a whole different ballgame, because now they got even more pissed. You giving up the pussy and the money like that? That's the shit that I'm talking about right there. Now, it don't make sense.
Okay.
You can't give up the ass and the money. What is that?
Well, no, she wants to be the first porn actress in space. She didn't say she was going to give up ass in space. She just wants to go in space.
How the hell is she going to be the first porn actress in space if she don't give up no ass?
Because she paid $100,000 for the privilege.
Oh, Lord. We gonna move on from this. This is getting worse. It just don't sound right. It just don't feel right. It don't feel right. Just stop it.
All right.
What part of space is she going to? I mean, space is a big place now.
She's supposed to be going 62 miles high into space. Yeah. Because I know you care so much. I wanted to bring that to you.
I did, because you're going 62 miles into space and you're paying, what is it, $100,000?
Yeah.
And again, that's all you can think about is giving up the Twizzle.
Oh, she's just a porn star. Anyway. Moving on to in Georgia, there's a dollar store clerk who spanked his boy with her belt. It wasn't even her kid. And the funny thing is the kid was in there acting up. And what she did is, according to the surveillance camera, said the boy was running around the store and she tried to stop him. And I guess she called him a demon. He responded with, "I'll show you bad." And he threw a cookie at her. She chased him and started whooping his ass. He said, "It felt like 5 needles were sticking in me." I was screaming, "Mama."
This is funny. This story is funny as hell because I watched the video. Did you watch the video?
Yep.
Because this little boy act like he ain't never got his ass whooped before. And if you look at the mama and daddy, you can tell that they done beat his ass a couple of times. But my first question was, your child is running around a store by himself for hours, terrorizing people, and you have no problem with that at all. And then he's talking smart to grown people and throwing shit at them. Like, yeah, I probably would have beat his ass and his parents' ass that day. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't condone nobody beating on kids or hitting kids that ain't theirs, but you need to teach your kids respect, and you need to teach them that one day they're going to meet the wrong person at the wrong time, and that person is going to snatch their ass up and beat the hell out of them.
Well,
that's what happened.
It sounded like he met the right person at the right time.
Yeah.
And on that note, we going to go on break before we bring our illustrious guest on, Miss Imani Wisdom. This is Donny Hathaway. Be Real Black.
Queen of the Little People, that was Donny Hathaway and Miss Roberta Flack. Be real black. And
since we being black, we might as well get our guests on.
Yes.
My cousin. Cousin, what's happening? Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Who, B?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hey, everybody from Indianapolis, you my cousin. That's
oh,
all.
Oh, okay.
All right. And it don't hurt that you look and sound exactly like my cousin. So we just cousins. Unless somebody can prove otherwise. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Glad to have you back.
Oh, well, I'm glad to be back.
Y'all tuning, y'all just now tuning in. We are on live with Ms. Imani Wisdom, founder and CEO of Pink Noir Publications and author of Zion's Road. Now, this book, I didn't expect to cry.
You made 100 cry.
Like, I'm not no crying type of woman. Like, you know what I'm saying? I break down every now and then, but yeah. At the revelation towards the end, I don't want to give it away because I want people to, you know, put some money in your pocket and buy this book. But that revelation, like, I just boo-hooed. I was like, oh, my God, I was happy. But I was still kind of sad at the same time. But anyway, so if you want to just tell the people a little bit, that's okay by us. But don't tell them too much because we want them to buy your book.
Well, Zion's Road is basically about a guy from the South in Mississippi. He's a former Klansman, and he had an unexpected turn of events. So, therefore, he ended up taking this journey with the least expected person that he'd go along with. So he saw, you know, some things, you know, along his journey, but he saw something that he kept a secret for years. So, and then, as you said, toward the end, it has some twists and turns and something totally unexpected that happened to him. So, you know, even though it's a short story, it's a pretty feel-good, uplifting story. So, but there's a novel, it's a spinoff to this, coming out August of this year.
Okay.
Now I got to ask the question. What made you want to write about a Klansman?
Well, I wrote this story 7 years ago, and I was inspired from, I think it was some type of hate crime that happened. And I know that, you know, like, you know, to many people, you know, Klans people are like, you know, one of the, you know, just nasty, you know, like vile. And what better is like kind of turn him around, you know, stuff that he's seen, you know, which I'm not going to give it away, but, you know, certain things that he saw on his journey that pretty much turned him around. So I thought he was a perfect person. So.
All right.
Well, I felt the same way. Like, when I read it, it put me in a place of looking at myself and saying, okay, a person can think, yeah, they're going along just fine in life and they're doing well and they're not such a bad person after all, but it makes you examine yourself more closely and think,
yeah,
like, I might have some of these same traits. I might not be, you know, an out-out racist, but I might have some of these same qualities that this Klansman has, and it makes you look at yourself, you know, under a microscope, and it makes you want to change. It does, you know, it's not that type of change that says that you know, get out of jail type of change. Like, yeah, I'm a change because I'm a free man now. I don't want to ever go back. No, it's that kind of change that it sparks real change inside of you. So that's why
That's right. I'm like, now if he can change, now I know everybody else can, you know. So, I mean, I myself, you know, I've been through a lot of stuff, so I had no choice to change. So change can happen. But, but you know, for him, you know, I mean, he just came in my mind when I wrote it.
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't do no outline, no, you know, or like character development. It just basically, I wrote this story in 3 days. And it just came.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, I mean, like, as I wrote along, and then that's when the characters came. So his secret that was revealed, it just came in my mind. I thought it was perfect for the story.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I read it and was like, wow, okay. it was different from some of the other stuff that I've read that you wrote.
Yeah, I know.
Just a little bit different. Now, I read your little short, I can make you scream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, where'd that come from?
That one, I mean, I tend to write very unpredictable, so whatever comes, it just comes. So that one, it was just like, I used to have Erotic Fridays on my blog. So, I mean, I just needed a story, and it just came up, and I wrote it. So, and what better way of taking control as a woman is to write that story. So,
right.
Taking control, that's what we call it.
Taking control, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? A big pat on the back to you, because that's how real women take control. They evolve. In the boardroom, and they are both in the bedroom, period and point.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to keep away from that because, like, Zion's Own is going to be a series. So
right.
When the series is over, and then I can go back to it, because that's very hard going from what I wrote for Zion's Road to switch gears to something else like that.
I wanted to talk about that for a second, because I myself think that it's beautiful that you can bounce back and forth. I mean, for me, I hate when an author will pigeonhole themselves and say, okay, I'm stuck and I'm just going to do this. Like, this is all you are. This is all you think.
Like a one-trick pony type of thing.
Yeah.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm glad that you can go back and forth, because and I've talked to you in the past, and reading some of your stuff, there's a whole lot more to you, the layers. And I think it's good that you can show that.
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, born to be doing just one thing. And
right.
I just don't like that. So, like, right now I'm writing for a magazine. And, I mean, it's just like I'm very passionate on certain issues. So, you know, whenever I'm in the mood to talk about it, I will write it down. So, but I can't be stuck in one particular type of thing. I just can't do it. It's either, you know, if I'm in the mood to write something inspirational, I'll write it. If I'm in a mood to write something erotic, I'll write it. But, you know, that's just me. It's just I just cannot be stuck in one thing because I get bored very fast.
All right. Now, well, go ahead, 100.
Oh, we're probably going to say the same thing. What I was going to say, speaking about important issues to you, mm-hmm. I heard that one of your issues that you're passionate about is domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's near and dear to my heart as well, and I'm sure Mr. F. the N-word too. So talk to us about that.
Well, what I went through when I was younger, I dealt with sexual abuse that I dealt with. But I never, you know, dealt with any type of, you know, man hitting on me like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the novel coming out this summer, it talks on forms of abuse, all forms.
Mm-hmm.
And, the main character, she dealt with this, so I'm going to reveal it's a she right now. But she, you know, dealt with the abuse for years. And she found this ingenious way of breaking free from his bondage. So, that's, you know, really passionate, you know, not just domestic abuse, you know, because, you know, men and women both suffer from it.
Yeah.
I'm also talking about sexual abuse as well. Men have dealt with it too. It's just that, you know, it's very unreported, which, of course, I understand. Because, you know, there's a lot of men that feel shame about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, I'm more passionate, not just on domestic level, but, you know, sexual abuse, because I've been there, and you have to live with those scars.
Yes.
Yeah, we definitely understand that. As someone who's passionate about sexual abuse, and when we talk about domestic abuse, sexual abuse, I look at it like it happens in the household, in the family. I think they kind of like are the same. You're violating somebody's space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That was just looked at it as thievery, as you're a robber, you're a thief, right? Because when you do that to somebody, whether you punch them in the face or you're raping or molesting them, you're stealing a part of that person's soul that they may never get back. So
that's right. Mm-hmm.
It's has been a huge part of my life as well. So I'm right with you. Like you said, it comes in all shapes, forms,
mm-hmm.
colors, all of that, languages. People think that
mm-hmm.
for me, it's jumping in your face and yelling at you if he didn't hit
that's
you.
Right.
No, that's still abuse, because a person can have mental setbacks because a person is constantly intimidating them and mm-hmm. causing them to be terrorized or to, you know, fear people. And they can grow up fearing people just by that one person, you know, intimidating them all their life. So
that's right.
It's a lot that goes into the domestic, sexual, just abuse, period. So
yes, that's exactly. And you pretty much named everything that's in the book that's coming out this summer.
Okay.
So yeah, so I'm like, it has, you know, I mean, as I said, it's the spinoff, but it goes back before 2006, and the main character in Zion's Road, you know, that had his little thing.
Okay.
So this goes back about 1993, and it pretty much showed where it all began. So, but yeah, you pretty much, you know, said a lot of points that's in the book that you have said.
Okay.
So yeah, but it's the same thing with the book coming out this summer. I wrote that around the same time as I did Zion's Road, and I kept it in my hard drive for 6 years because I didn't know how the public would take it. Because, since you read Zion's Road, it's very intense.
Right.
And I had a few people ask, well, why did I have it so intense? You know, pretty much asked me, you know, I should have had it watered down. I don't do that. Yeah, I mean, I don't do that because that's the way it was back then. So,
Well, in some parts of the world, it's still like that.
And it could be right in your own backyard, and you would never even guess it until you walk right up on it, and you like, oh, my goodness, like, do this still exist? Yes, it does.
Miss Wisdom, you got the books. You got the books coming out. Do you plan on doing any, like, you working on any projects, like, for cartoons or movies or plays or anything like that?
Well, not cartoons, but I have written a play, but I don't know when it would, you know, go in production, but as of right now, you know, I'm just trying to focus on, you know, getting this book, you know, released, trying to make sure everything is on the P's and Q's, make sure all, you know, like, everything is perfect, because, you know, this is my first novel, so I'm just trying to stay focused on that. But I do, however, you know, I do have a lot of goals in the future that I would like to accomplish, and one of them is play. So, you know, I don't know when that would happen, but that is what one of my goals that I would like to pursue.
And you know, and speaking of plays and the history of plays, I wonder why that, I mean, you think that TV, has that taken away from the play genre? You know, it used to be plays all the time. You could find them, go to a lot of them, especially black plays. Now, not so much.
Yeah. I mean, well, like, the plays that I see on TV is the ones on BET that's, like, on Sundays, but I haven't been seeing them lately.
Well, I can't say that because I never watched BET.
Yeah, well, I hardly watch it, but, you know, my grandmother, you know, when she flipped the channels, you know, she, you know, she'll watch something that's on BET, so I guess whatever's black, you know, she'll look at it. But, yeah, I don't, you know, I haven't been to a play in a long time, and the plays that I have seen lately is Tyler Perry. But my goal, you know, okay. But my goal is, you know, I don't want to be like anybody else or like Tyler Perry as much as I, you know, admire his work. But I just want to be me.
Well, if you was going to be Tyler Perry, you had to dress up as a man.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
We're not about to go there with you.
Instead of Madea, you be Mandingo.
No, we not about to do it. It's just not about to happen.
No, I'm like, I mean, you know, he, you know, his plays are very inspirational in me, since I just don't like being bogged down or being told what, you know, try to appease a certain crowd of people with my writing. You know, it might not be just an inspirational. You know, it's just, you know, it's just whatever that I write, you know, will probably be in a play.
Well,
so,
I like to think that if things are thought-provoking, it I don't know if it's necessarily inspirational, but, I mean, thought-provoking is something that's, like, kind of missing nowadays. It's just, like, mindless junk. Yeah, I'm inspired.
Yeah, I'm like, exactly.
I want to be my mind challenged, make me think about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's how I see it.
So, you are right. You are right, because that's what someone asked me a question, you know, to describe one name for myself and my work. And I said provocative. Because that's, you know, I mean, I don't purposely write like that. It just comes out like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm like, whatever comes, if it's, you know, Zion's Road or another project, that it probably won't come out till next year. And that's far, far, far away from Zion's Road. This is, like, seriously far. I mean, it borderlines to erotic, but it's not. So, but whatever comes to my mind, I will write it.
Oh,
you said about the plays, though.
You said borderline erotic, but it's not.
It's borderline, but it's not. I really don't want to call it erotic. I'm gonna say it's R-rated. I'm gonna say it like that because if I say too much about it, I might give it away. But it's steamy. It's a lot of action, and I don't mean sex action, but a lot of action. Mm. And you know that's pretty much all that I'm gonna say right now.
All right. Steamy mm-hmm. with action.
Mhm.
Action Jackson.
Mhm. Yeah. This character does not play.
All right. So, mm-hmm. I know we've been talking on and on, but you know, tell the people if they wanted to catch up to you, where mm-hmm. could they read some of this provocative material?
They can go to my website, www.amaniwisdom.com, or they can go to my blog, www.pinyor.com.
Okay. And they can also find your book on Amazon, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want to leave that out.
Yep.
Got to get you
and
some
then
money.
If they want to tweet me, then they can go to, I'm sorry?
I said, we got to get you some money together so you can have some funds to make that play.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for the play. Like, I'm already psyched up, hyped up about the work mm-hmm. that you're doing now. But if your work is anything like this, the book was, what, 48 pages? The short story was 48 pages?
48 pages.
All of that excitement into that
mm-hmm.
package.
And so, yep.
I can only imagine how the novel will be and then move it on to a play. Yeah, I'm excited for you.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, this is the novel coming out is a full-length novel. So, you know, I just feel blessed that I was able to, you know, complete it. So, I was worried that it would be a tough act to follow, you know, behind Zion's Road. I was really scared about that. But my friend, Tamara, I'm going to give her a shout-out, she eased my fears. So, but I was really worried about it because this is like, this goes more intense beyond just the journey. So it's not like Harold's journey. This is totally different, but it's still a journey, though.
Okay.
So, and I was really worried about it.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on. Obviously, I dig what you're doing, and I couldn't think of, I don't really care too much for Black History Month, but if I was going to start off my Black History Month, I couldn't mm-hmm. have done better by having you on.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, because I always love coming, you know, talking to y'all, and it's just, I always have a good time.
All right. Well, as I've always told you before, anytime you mm-hmm. want to holler, you come on, give
okay.
us a call.
All right. Well, I would love to come back, you know, in the summer and, you know, promote my book. So, I'm looking forward to coming back because y'all two are a blast. So.
Hey, well, whenever you get a chance, you get that book done, holler at me.
Mm-hmm. All right, I will.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
All right, good night.
All right, you too.
All right, y'all. That was Miss Imani Wisdom, CEO of Pink Noir Publications, author supreme, self-made future millionaire.
Erotic, but not really erotic. Steamy, you know, what else?
Without giving it away.
Yes.
On top of that, she's my cousin until y'all can prove she's not my cousin.
That's a long title.
Hey.
Well.
Hey, but in the African tradition, the names are like 8-9 names long.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I mean, if we gonna go, we might as well go.
Right. The names are like an introduction to the person, not just a name, Jawaka Tima,
right?
Know, something like that. I'm about to go there, so let's.
What?
I said you're walking see what it just go.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Okay. Jawaka Tima. I don't know how you got all that in there, but there's probably somebody named Jawaka Tima.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, just how people like to just slap a name just because it might sound good. Yeah, ooh, that's fresh. That is so fresh. No, it is not, honey.
You know, you got to tell these people, y'all got to stop putting these names on these kids that you wouldn't put on yourself. If you want to do something like that, rename yourself.
Right.
Don't be blessing these kids with these crazy ass names.
Right.
It is not right. Please. I'm trying to tell you. Stop doing it.
And my name is difficult enough. I had a woman tell me when she saw my resume, she knew that I was Black based on my first name. And I said, why? There is a T there instead of a D. So it could have been a white woman. But she said, but yeah, when I talked to you, I thought you were white. But when I saw your resume, I thought you were Black. So it's really good to meet you. And I didn't really know how to take that. But yeah.
She said she heard your name and thought you were Black.
She read my resume and thought, you know, figured like, yeah, this is a Black girl. But when she talked to me over the phone, she thought that I was a white girl. So she was already prejudging me based on my name. So that's what I'm telling these people, like.
Stop it.
Just knock it off.
On that note, we going to go on break here. This is Marvin Gaye. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, how you doing? Far too many of you die. You know
welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. S, the N-word. I'm Miss 100% Queen of the Little People, and that was Marvin Gaye. What's going on?
I just wanted to clap for that.
I was going to say, was that for me?
That's all for you, because you said Marvin Gaye, and just had to clap.
Yeah, I think that was kind of appropriate, you know?
Yeah. Good music. What's going on? Music that makes sense. And there's something to be said about that, and trying to make sense. You know, we talk about Black History Month. Everybody's up in arms right now. It's like, what can we do to help the Black community talk and communicate?
What do they want to talk about? What do they want us to talk about?
Well, I know what I want to talk about. I talk about the same thing I talk about every day, all day. This foolishness that's going on in the streets, like Darian Long is an Atlanta mall cop who stun gunned the mama. It's a video that's out there. I don't know if y'all have seen it. Me and 100 have seen it. It's funny, but it's terrifying at the same time.
And you know what? Terrifying, but it's like it's so many emotions when you watch it, because it really delves down into, for me, looking at it as a Black woman, I was so furious with the Black women. Like, do you not understand that is the reason why they look at us the way they look at us? Or the reason why they call us animals and things like that, because of your behavior. And it's not just you, but it's thousands like you. And it's like, yeah, you don't represent the entire Black race, but in a sense you do. And
but when it goes viral, you represent.
Representing.
Oh,
and well. My next statement, like... And it's like the comments on it, it's like you can't even get mad at the people saying the stuff that they're saying, because it's you just made the stereotype true. So it's crazy, but
well, I mean, for me in watching this crazy video, first, homie was very patient. I mean, he was very patient.
I would say so myself.
Yeah, it's only so many cuss words and so much disrespect that you could take. I mean, and see, it begs the question, if he would have been the white man, would that even have been sent his way?
Right.
I doubt it. But he's a Black man, so they call him everything under the sun.
And then even allow their little bitty kids, like you see 2-year-olds or a baby that can barely walk, calling a grown man, you're a faggot, that's why you gay, and right. All of that. I mean, it just is so much
And speaking on that, I mean, the fact that you can teach your kids to be disrespectful, but and I'm going to guess though those kids will never be honor students. They won't achieve high because the parents, you put all your time and effort into putting bullshit into your kids instead of all that energy that she was talking tough. You see how tough she was? She was tough skinned, boy. She, yeah, you ain't fine. Yeah, I got you. I fuck you up. And then when he tased her ass and she hit the ground, everybody, all that tough just oozed out of everybody.
It just ran right out. I mean, I don't know, maybe it was wrong for me to laugh, but I laughed myself to pieces. Like, I watched the video over and over and over. Uh-huh. And I let people in the house watch it, and everybody had the same reaction. I thought maybe if I let them watch it, maybe they would spark a different reaction. But everybody had the same reaction. She should have shut the fuck up and moved along and backed up. Like, how many times he said, back it on up?
Well, he said back up about 25, 30 times.
Then he even said, I'm going to hit you.
He left out. He went back inside. Please, y'all, watch this video. Google the video of the Atlanta Mall cop. I mean, he leaves out, comes back out. It's like, yo. You see,
because at one point, they sent the kids back into the mall.
Right.
And he said, get your kids, ma'am. Get your kids. Please get your kids. I ain't got to get my kids. I bet you I'll come back in there. And he said, okay, you come back in here. I got something for you. See, that right there would have made me just shut my mouth and go on. But
you know, how many of these videos have we seen where people who aren't tough are talking tough? I mean, I've seen so many of these tough people. I seen a video where a woman, she was talking tough to this dude. I mean, she spit on homie, she punched him, and he punched her back and knocked her out.
And see, that was going to bring me to my next point, because I was really about to say that. That's my thing. Like, okay, we talked about abuse and violence, domestic violence and all that. So don't mistake me and think that, yeah, I'm for men beating up on women of any race or whatever. But I have a thing against women when they feel like, I can just hit on this man. I can kick him, spit him, bite him, do whatever I want to do to him. And because he's a man, he's not going to put his hands on me, because as soon as he does, he's going to jail. So they use that as a way to bully men. And then when they get the hell knocked out of them, all of a sudden they want some sympathy. I don't have sympathy for people like that.
Yeah.
But you're asking for an ass whooping and you get it, then what do you want people to do for you? Like, what?
Right. I mean, you get what you ask for. Now, the second part that was kind of disturbing, once you get past the incident, is that after the video, there's an online campaign to get him better and more gear. And it's raised $22,000 in
counting. And you know why? And I can understand that.
Mm.
I can understand that. Remember, I just moved from down south. And I know why. Because places like where he was and where I was, people don't have respect for one another. And security guards, and they call them flashlight cops and stuff like that, they are very disrespectful towards those people in jobs like that. And all types of stuff happened to them. They're getting jumped. They're getting shot up. All because they say, well, you can't be in here, you know, like that. You can't be loud. You know, they're just doing their job. But then they, you know, find themselves on a business end of somebody's gun, all because they asked them to leave a store. And people like that, they need to protect themselves. So what do you want them to do? You want them to get beat up on, and just because you don't want to take control of your children? And that's what it was all over, because he said.
Well, I mean, I just look at it like, okay, so we have all these people who want to contribute money to getting him better and more gear. It's sort of like the argument that, all right, when homie went and shot in that school, okay, now we got to arm the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, see, because this is how you think. Instead of thinking, all right, how can we get the people in these communities to stop being like that.
Right.
Because if you answering with the gun, all it does is escalate. I mean, you can go to any urban center. I mean, we talk about the problems in Chicago, where I'm at here in Oakland, I mean, Detroit. I mean, there's all kinds of places where this stuff happens, and it's that eye for an eye, and then everybody's blind.
Yeah, it was kind of like the Journal News newspaper that published the names of all the gun owners in that particular city. And they were so against guns, period. But then when they started getting threats, the first thing they did was hire armed security guards to protect them.
Right.
Like, no, you don't need armed security guards. Be Billy Badass like you was when you printed all those people's names.
Oh, well, I mean, that's the point. See, I myself, I'm for guns. I won't argue against the gun. I'm saying that there's certain people who should not get it. The problem is not the legal process.
Right.
The illegal process, these people who shouldn't have guns.
Right.
Is the issue.
Right.
Always has been.
And we said that before. You can change the laws all you want to, but there's always going to be greed. And a greedy gun owner or gun store owner or whatever, that person is going to sell to whoever just because he wants the money. It's always going to be some type of illegal operation getting guns into the hands of crazy people.
Yeah, and that's what has to stop. Crazy people should not have guns. And on that note, I want to thank everybody for listening. Big shout out to my cousin. I'm going to keep saying that. Imani Wisdom, CEO of Pink Noir Publications, for coming on the show. And, of course, for my illustrious co-host, the queen of the little people, Miss 100%. I am Mr. F the N-Word. And, you know, we smooth drama going hard in the paint. And if you don't like it, and if you try to block the alley-oop, what they getting, 100?
Same face, bitches.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.